switched some things up. Yeah, yeah, yes, it was. It.
I'd like to go ahead and call the meeting to order for the February Board of Directors meeting for Eastern Lancaster County. Thank you all for coming out this evening. At the beginning, I'd like to have Mr. Wenzel lead us in a moment of silence in the pledge.
Please rise as you are able.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Do I have any agenda modifications?
I'd like to make a motion to move the tribute to, I'm going to say Mr. Day, since he was a teacher of mine, to the beginning of the meeting so that his family can choose to stay or leave.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor of amending the agenda, say aye.
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 Any nays? Agenda is modified.
They approved the agenda as modified.
So got it. That being said, we will go ahead and move right into the. Is it moved right now?
It's up to her.
Just for clarity, we'll go ahead and do that now with Mr. Day. And Mr. Wenzel is going
you
to
ready?
Read a
statement. All right. I will read the resolution of tribute. Whereas Clifford Day Jr. served as a teacher at Garden Spot High School for the Eastern Lancaster County School District from 1970 to 2002, and whereas Mr. Day served devoutly and made a significant contribution to the Eastern Lancaster County School District community, and whereas in his death, the Eastern Lancaster County School District has suffered a grievous loss of a valued friend, an esteemed associate, and a public servant. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of School Directors, acting on a deep and sorrowful behalf of the entire Eastern Lancaster County School District, and hereby enacts this resolution of tribute for inclusion into the official records of the school board, and it is further resolved that as an official sealed copy of this action shall be furnished by our appropriate officers as a mark of our sympathy and respect to the members of Mr. Day's immediate family. Resolved and enacted this 28th day of February 2022, the Eastern Lancaster County District Board of Directors, which will be signed by our President, Jonathan Dahl.
Thank you, Tom. Do I have a second to approve the resolution?
Second.
Any discussion on the resolution? All right. All in favor of approving resolution number 22-01, say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Resolution passes.
I guess this time I can make some comments, if anyone
sure
wants some comments. Being that I was one of the ones that came through the Ag Department, and I see Mrs. Day back there, and back in early 1970s, I came through with Dr. Ogline and eventually got to know Mr. Day as I evolved into my FFA career and parliament procedure, and he took me over to Mount Joy to buy a Holstein heifer, registered one, to show at fairs, being that none of our cows were registered. And I might note that we took the school maintenance van to bring the calf home. There were no accidents in the van getting it back to the farm, I might note. But anyway, such a loving, giving man, and utmost respect, you know, the drilling of the parliamentary procedure. And I could closely relate to him because he grew up on a dairy farm in New York State, and could relate to the getting away for things. I know I never could get to FFA week at Penn State, but a commitment at the farm. But I'll leave it on we were blessed, like I said, to have three ag teachers. We had a total of eight at that time in the ag department. Some of them dealt with the adult community. There was, of course, the patriarch, Dr. Herr, was the head of the ag department and ran the Hinkletown Alternative School when I got to high school. But we had Robert Woods, we had Phil Oglein, we had Mr. Day, we had Don Robinson, we had Bob Anderson, we had Cheryl Rizzo, we had, I think, Jerry Oglein. So it was around 7 or 8. We had a very large ag department at that time. But I'll leave it on a funny story, you know, because each one of these teachers had a different perspective on discipline. Dr. Oglein would say, I'll give you 12 inches, but you better not take 16. And there were some boys that'd like to push the table. And I remember he did push the table. I said, boys, you just took 16. And Mr. Woods had that look that would just burn a hole in you. But Mr. Day had a big, loving heart. And I'll give you this story. It was my senior year. I remember you were allowed to take field trips, drive your own cars to these field trips, didn't have to take the bus. This is spring of 1976. And we went into Crops and Field Day at the Farm and Home Center. And on the way back, we were coming home 322 to turn in the Weaverland Road. We were progressing toward Tower Road. I thought, what the heck is that Jeep coming across the road? Here, one of the guys decided not to take the road. They took the field to get back to back to school. And when we got back to school, Mr. Day is just like that. Oh, my God, I can't believe these guys. Why'd you go that way? Well, we wanted to take the shortcut. Don't take the shortcut ever again. But that was the type of man he was. He was just, he understood that boys would be boys and they were disciplined to be disciplined. So he will deeply be missed. He contributed so much to this community.
Thank you, Tom. Any other comments?
I just want to make one now that I've heard yours. I had one interaction with Mr. Day in high school that left a really good impression on me. And I mean, I'll share details with his family later because I don't think I've ever shared the story with him. I approached a group of students and I were in a club, conservative religious group here at the school at the time. And we approached a teacher of ours asking for some support in an event we wanted to have for the whole school. And at the time, a very different time than today, of course, in this era, the teacher conveyed with us that that was not their beliefs or their line of thinking. However, there was a teacher on campus that would have matched what we were looking for and said, why don't you go and seek out Mr. Day? That would be a more appropriate and a kind of a channel that they thought we should go to. And I just thought, wow, like as a teenager I think it was my junior year. That was really impressionable to me that just coworkers who thought didn't have the same political, religious beliefs would definitely say that he was someone to go to. And that is my story, my one big interaction with Mr. Day, and he did come and support us, and it was a really neat way to interact with a faculty member I might not have gotten to know any other way.
Awesome. Thank you, Ms. Skyer. Apologies. We're moving ahead on the agenda to the Student of the Month presentation. Dr. Sanger.
Thank you, President Dahl. I think it's only fitting that two of our students of the month for the month of January are related to ag in some form or fashion. So our trait of the month was that of hardworking, and our freshman student of the month, Jasmine Hoadley, unfortunately could not be here this evening, but I'll just recognize her anyway. Jasmine is the daughter of David and Pamela Hoadley of New Holland, Pennsylvania. She is currently taking honors courses and has received honor roll since middle school. Jasmine is a member of our applied music program and the FFA. Our sophomore student of the month, Zach Delgado. Zach, if you wouldn't mind standing up and going over to Dr. Stumpkowski, I'd appreciate it. Zach is the son of Bill and Sherry Delgado of East Cyril, Pennsylvania. Zach has taken several honors courses over the years and received honor roll status since seventh grade. Zach is a member of the marching band. He also participates in soccer, volleyball, swimming, and track and field. Ladies and gentlemen, Zach Delgado. Thank you. Our junior student of the month is Ms. Kendall Moats. Kendall, if you wouldn't mind standing up and going over to Dr. Snipkowski. Kendall is the daughter of Joseph and Sarah Moats of New Holland, Pennsylvania. She's enrolled in honors courses and has received honor rolls since seventh grade. Kendall is also very involved with our FFA program as the chapter's president. Ladies and gentlemen, Kendall Moats. And then last but certainly not least, Miss Layla Hamzik. Layla? Layla is our senior student of the month. She is the daughter of Eden Hamzik of New Holland, Pennsylvania. Layla has taken several honors courses over the years and maintained distinguished honors since seventh grade. Layla was the drum major for our marching band, and she was also a member of our cheerleading team. Ladies and gentlemen, Layla Hamzik. Thank you, President Dahl.
Thank you. I will also extend my congratulations to those three students that were here. You guys mean a lot to this district. Thank you. I will also say you are our new superintendent's first student of the month, so you guys get that recognition as well. So thank you. We're moving ahead to special presentation.
Thank you. And at this time, I would like to introduce one of our teachers from the Elanco School District, Mike Stitzer, who will introduce Tim Smith, who will be representing, CNH Manufacturing, who will be presenting the district with a $25,000 check.
Okay. Shall I say a few words? Yeah. Just on behalf of CNH, we are pleased to present to the Garden Spot High School a check for $25,000 to go towards an automated screen printing. So ag obviously is the theme for the night, so I came on the right evening. And congratulations. Thank you very much.
Tim, I have something for you, bud. As a token of our thanks, this is a plaque just to thank you for your continued support. CNH has supported us many times. Last time it was a purchase of a laser cutter, and actually that was made 100% by students with that laser cutter.
Awesome, great. So, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Apologies, we're waiting for our secretary. We'll wait a second, so I apologize. We're going to go ahead and proceed on to citizen comments. This is a time we set aside for residents of the district or parents who have students within the district to take 5 minutes of their time and share with us any thoughts or concerns they have. We do ask you to a couple things. We limit you to 5 minutes. At 4 minutes, you will get a 4-minute warning from our board secretary, if he's back. If not, we will let you know. The other thing we keep in mind is we just ask for one thing, and that's to be respectful of each other. We ask that you show the respect that you would ask for, and we just ask that you show the respect in return. That being said, we'll go ahead and move ahead. I'm going to read two names first, and I'll try to give everyone a heads up that it's coming. So Mr. David Brenneman is first, followed by Danielle.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Superintendent Snipkowski, thank you again. He was very generous with his time earlier this afternoon at short notice. I realized after we left there was a half hour past the time you indicated you were available until, so thank you again. Most of you are aware why I'm here. On February 11th, on Friday, my son came home, soiled halfway up his torso and down into his pants with three distinct movements in color and consistency. One of them was dried and hard. On his daily sheet, it was indicated that he was checked at 3:10. We found out that the checking was not done appropriately. He was clearly soiled at that time. In addition to this, he didn't have a coat, a hat, a sweater, or anything of that type on him. Just his regular t-shirt material shirt that he was wearing. He's 50 pounds, he's 10 years old, and at 70 degrees, his arms and legs get cold without layers. All of his teachers that have worked with him are aware of that, and it is reasonable expectation, I believe, that a teacher would have the judgment to determine when it is and is not appropriate to put a child in certain attire or without it, and in 50-degree weather, it was not okay. I'll summarize quickly. We have had the most incredible care with Elanco, and we wanted to balance our concerns, obviously, with also a well-earned reputation. The MDS program here has set a bar exceptionally high, and we're very grateful for that, and we don't want to harm that. So I immediately reached out to, I emailed each of the people in his class. There's a standard email, as you all know, first_lastnameelanco.org, and said, hey, please tell me what happened. I was confirmed in that instance that there was corners cut, that care was not properly provided. And my wife and I took a day or two to think about and pray about how we should proceed. We contacted the CE administration, the supervisors of the MDS program at Blue Ball. And they conducted an investigation. We met with them, and essentially their conclusion was, I'm summarizing, this is a straw man, but essentially was, I'm sorry. We weren't super happy with that. So we reached out to other parents in the MDS class and said, hey, have you had any concerns? We did not put our story out there first. We just said, have you had any issues or any concerns? And we found out that 5 of the 6 families in the class had already had issues, concerns, and incidents occur that they were already wanting a new teacher and had not communicated with the other families. So at this point, we noticed a lot of small things and some not so small things that indicated what I still believe is a pattern of neglect, consistent the whole way back to when she was first hired. I told the teacher when we met with her and with the administration, we don't think you're a horrible person. We just think this is an exceptional position, and we don't think it's a position for you. We don't have any ill will toward her. We don't have any animosity toward her. Our only concern is the best care for our son. After we shared the concerns with other families and some of the other stories and things that happened, the next thing that occurred, we found out, was that the 2 aides in his class, nobody's perfect, but without exception, every report I have ever had about those individuals, the paraprofessionals that worked in his class, from the staff of the school or from the parents that have interacted with them, has been a positive report and a glowing report of their care for the children. They've been with my son and know him personally for his whole time here at the school. Something was communicated to STS, their employer, that resulted in their termination. The next day, we received information that there were still issues occurring, that the shortcuts were still being taken, and parents were being given information that was not accurate. That by the end of the week, another person who had already noticed some things and was concerned about things and was documenting things, another paraprofessional with a good reputation among the staff, was also had their employment terminated by STS due to some communication from the school. So my concerns are this. I know you guys have not had a chance to meet as a board and talk about this. I know this is basically, tonight is new information. I know you have all been informed, but now you have to proceed. This is what I'm asking. I want to know how I can process the information I have in any way other than an attempt to cover up abuse, to protect the school over protecting the children. I would love to be wrong, but currently with the information I have, I can't conceive it any other way. I hope I'm wrong. I'm praying I'm wrong. Believe me, every day I'm looking for a way to be wrong there. I want to know, I'll just wrap up quickly. I want to know if the same standard of grace given to the teacher, why it was not applied to the paraprofessionals. if there is an acceptable margin of error, why was that not applied across the board? And I want to know, how can I be confident that my son is safe, secure, being cared for here at the district? So as you investigate, I thank you so much.
Thank you. And I apologize. I just need to do one other housekeeping thing. When you go up to the microphone, if you can state your address as well for the record. And after Danielle is going to be Ashley Murray. So just be on deck. Okay. Thank you.
I had to write mine because I'm not as eloquent as David. Hello. Thank you so much for letting me share my heart. I'm Danielle Brenneman, and my son, Miles... I do have my address. My son, Miles, was until recently in the older MDS class at Bluebell Elementary. We live on Magnolia Drive in Lancaster, 17602. I want to address the issue of the MDS class as well. Since Miles started in August of 2016, we have always had wonderful experiences with the teachers and staff. Even though Miles is nonverbal, he made it clear he loves school. But after getting a new teacher a year ago in November, it clearly had changed. Unless you mentioned his paras, then he would smile. In the beginning, I had a weird feeling about her, call it intuition, I don't know. She was always nice and very responsive to my questions, so I just figured they needed time to get to know each other, and she just had a different personality than every other MDS teacher we've ever had. It takes a very special person to do this very challenging job. But after a year, I wondered, still less schoolwork came home, and when we did the virtual IEP sessions with him and her, he seemed to just wait until it was over instead of trying to do anything for her. And she never called him out on it, like the old teacher, she just really didn't know him well enough to know that. On February 11th, as David said, when Miles came home, clearly not changed, with poop kicked up his back and dried in his diaper, and without a coat or a sweater on when he was always on, it struck us as strange. So we emailed all four adults in the room. Truth came out, and not from her. From the paras, who were later fired because there's a rule that they can't speak with the parents. We investigated, and more stories came out. Lies she had told were uncovered, and we found out that she had been reported many times and there were no consequences and parents were not notified. I'll let the other families tell their own stories. I'm the one who usually trusts people and likes to give grace, and I love to give benefit of a doubt. We all make mistakes. I want to let it go, especially since we moved Miles out of her class. But I keep going back to all the evidence, and none of it standalone is really enough for this fight. But when it's all put together and she has been caught in lies and covers it up and makes excuses without taking responsibility and less pushed to, then it sets off all the alarms in my heart. This job is hard, we know. We respect the teachers and the parents so much for what they do. The kids were learning and growing and improving before she came, and now they aren't. These kids in this class are there for 4 years. MDS teachers need to be good at creating adaptive learning for each child, being loving, caring, and enthusiastic, strong enough physically to care for them, and mentally strong enough to hear them grind their teeth and make repetitive sounds and whatnot. And they need to see the best in them and challenge them and see those small details that they communicate with. She has shown that she isn't doing these things. With her, they have 4 years that each child is not learning, being in harm's way physically from accidents like falling off of changing tables. 4 years of not having a loving and encouraging teacher who shows that they're important. Losing physical strength from getting sore spots from not being put in their standards walkers or gait trainers, and the adaptive seating options in the room. That's 4 years they can't tell anyone what their day was like or what had happened. And the parents lack communication, especially if there aren't peers there and they get fired for talking to us. Where will the accountability come in? I don't want this for anyone's child. Like I said, if these were standalone accidents, it would be different, but that's a lot for kids who already have so much going against them already. They have enough to work through. To have 1 year of less than great teaching is one thing, but these kids will have it for 4 years. To accept that we've developed a high standard of care just because we've experienced it and to say it's not attainable going forward makes me feel like I'm saying that my disabled son and his friends are not important. If her character isn't strong enough to tell the truth and take responsibility right away when mistakes are made, then a room full of disabled nonverbal kids is not right fit for her. I considered suggesting you giving her a teaching job with typical kids, but the lying part still catches me. Good character for someone taking care of all children is so important. I was shocked to hear her reports were covered up and the parents weren't told about issues the paras reported. I've lost trust in the special education director, the special education assistant, and the consultant, whom things were reported to before, and I'd like to know if they were also the ones to do the investigations for our case. Seems to be a conflict of interest. Either way, there needs to be a better accountability for those classes with the nonverbal kids. Please look into why this was allowed to happen. Thank you, and I really appreciate all that you do.
Thank you. Ashley Murray is next, followed by Amber Murray.
I'm going to actually read for my sister. Do you want to read?
Just so I'm clear, so you're not going to speak?
No.
Okay. All right, I just wanted to be clear to pull the card. Thank you.
Yeah, do you need my my address is there, right?
The people okay, listening online.
Yeah, 424 Maple Street, East Durrell, PA.
Thank you.
Okay, so my name is Ashley. I am speaking on behalf of my sister, Amber. My name is Amber Murray. I worked as a para at Blue Ball Elementary School in the MDS classroom, room number 113, over the last 4 years. Prior to working here, I worked at Tell High Adult Daycare for 14 years. Taking care of people is not only something I have a lot of experience with, it is also something I am incredibly passionate about. My experience in this field allows me to easily advocate and care for others. On February 21st, 2022, I found myself being terminated merely because I replied back to an email that was initiated by a parent of a young special needs student who is nonverbal and in a wheelchair. There were some alarming concerns in regards to his care that I honestly replied to. Upon my termination, I was told by my direct supervisor that if I had concerns of student neglect in regards to the MDS teacher of classroom 113, I should have taken them to the child line as a mandated reporter. However, as an entry-level para, which my supervisor reminded me of numerous times, I decided to follow my chain of command and took my concerns to the administration and my supervisors on numerous occasions, hoping for a complete investigation and a resolution. I did nothing morally or ethically wrong. In fact, I did the exact opposite. What I am guilty of is telling the truth and seeking to create the best possible environment for these special needs children. That is my job, after all, isn't it? To provide the highest level of care possible for these very special young children, and that is what I have done since I've started here. As somebody with a conscious and good heart who truly loves these children and my job, I could no longer stay silent when this family reached out to me with their concerns, because I knew the truth. The school had already proven many times that they were going to simply ignore my concerns and continue to sweep them under the rug, as nothing was ever reported. So when the opportunity arose, I responded back to this parent's email and stated nothing but facts. I could not remain silent and had to take a stand and speak out for our MDS students, which ultimately resulted in me being fired. Ladies and gentlemen of the board, believe me when I say I was very good at my job. Both Cheryl and I, who is the other para in the classroom, are perfect candidates to take care of the special needs children. Speak with any of the MDS parents about this, and you will learn this for yourself. We are perfect candidates to maintain the pristine reputation that the MDS program would like to maintain. Our termination will lead to a decline in the level of care that these children get. The school is clearly in damage control mode, and the welfare of these students is clearly not their highest priority. Terminating Cheryl and I makes that abundantly clear. Firing us is purely punitive measures for speaking the truth. In closing, I would like to say there are times in life where we all have to make a choice, to choose to do what is easy or choose to do what is right. Doing the right thing and the easy thing, or doing the right thing is never the easy thing, but it is the right thing. And that is what Cheryl Brubaker and I, Amber Murray, did when we responded to the Brenneman's email. Now, all of you esteemed members of the board, you have the same moral dilemma to deal with. Will you do the easy thing and allow the termination of our employment to stand, or will you do the right thing and restore our employment and instead turn your attention to those who have been ignored with the concerns in the MDS classroom? We didn't do the easy thing. We did the right thing, as we are just simple paras. I respectfully ask you board members to strongly consider what I've said here this evening, and do everything in your power to restore my employment immediately. It is truly the right thing to do. I sincerely thank you for your consideration in this matter. Sincerely, Amber Murray.
Thank you. And so next, I didn't call this one out in advance, is Nikki Shirk, followed by Cheryl Brubaker. Just a reminder, state your name and address, please.
My name's Nikki Shirk. I live in Blue Ball, Pennsylvania. I had emailed the board, so I'm just going to recap on what my email said. My name is Nikki Shirk. I'm a newly former employee at Blue Ball Elementary. In my 3 or 4 years at Blue Ball, I've met some of the most amazing students and staff. I have filled many roles as kitchen staff, lunch monitor on a daily basis. I have also been a substitute para in Miles's class multiple times. I've worked with Amber and Cheryl multiple times. They give the highest quality care there is. Due to firing 2 paraprofessionals in an MDS class, I was asked to substitute para in that class whenever available on Friday, on February 21st to the 25th. After setting a few dates and times for me to help, I was messaged by Adina at STS. I was told that I'm being pulled from that class to give the kids something more consistent. So they put someone in there who had never worked with any of those students. She had no idea what she was doing over someone who has been there with those kids. When I asked why, I was given a very vague answer as to, well, it's what's best. On February 22nd, while I was in the cafeteria, I noticed Lisa Yulin, who is the special education director at Blue Ball, constantly texting on a cell phone and talking on a cell phone while 3 MDS students were attempting to eat their lunch, 2 of which need some assistance. She was too busy texting and talking on a cell phone to even acknowledge that those kids were sitting there. What happened next surely floored me. After working with these kids, I know their typical lunch habits. One student who had a small amount of lunch left, she got in their face and said, "I guess you're done," picked it up and threw it in the trash. Later come to find out that that student was marked down that day as eating all of their lunch. Again, another lie. It was overheard by the assistant principal, Jenna Lauterbeck, that I made a comment to another power aide from the other classroom that of what I saw. I expressed to her, "Hey, I didn't feel this was right." She had been feeding that student prior to this other person coming in. And I asked her, "He just had a little bit of stuff left." "Yeah." She threw it all away. I made the comment that if I continued to see that, documentation would be made, and I would advise higher-ups who needed to be advised. When Mrs. Lauterbeck overheard me, she pulled me aside and questioned me about what documentation I was making about students. I didn't make any documentation. I have a great memory. She accepted that answer, and that was the end of it. On Friday, February 25th, at 3:19, On February 25th in the morning, I was pulled into the office by Dawn Hare by STS and Miss Jenna Lauterbeck. Dawn proceeded to question me about an incident, about said incident, and tried to explain to her at least 3 times what I had seen and how things happened. Her response was, "I'm not talking about that. Just answer me." While trying to explain to her exactly what had happened, she didn't want to hear it. She wanted nothing to do with any answer that I gave her other than the information she wanted to hear, which I don't know what she was fishing for. I was told that I am not allowed to go near that MDS class any longer. I was told it's not my job and that I am to stay out of it. Last time I checked, I was a mandated reporter. So my higher-up told me to ignore neglect. That's illegal. She should not be employed with STS, and her supervisors have been apprised of the situation. Also on February 25th at 3:19 p.m., Dawn from STS called me as I was leaving for vacation with my family. She ruined my vacation, by the way. And explained to me, her first words to me were, "Hey, Nikki, it's Dawn. "You're not fired, but," and laughed. I was told that I had two options. I either get removed to another school, or I can quit. When I asked why, her explanation to me was, "The district does not trust you at Blue Ball any longer. But you're welcome to go to one of the other schools." Well, if the district distrusts me so much, why can I go to another school and not my home school where I've been with coworkers and my child exclusively for almost 4 years? I just wanted heard that these kids at Blue Ball have requested that I be reinstated. I am formally coming in front of you tonight to ask for my position back at Blue Ball Elementary as a lunch monitor. I have requested this due to the fact that there is another lunch monitor at Blue Ball who is still employed through the Elanco District and not STS. I am asking that this special instance be accepted for myself as well, and that you please hire me back through Elanco District. Thank you.
Next is Cheryl Brubaker, followed by Jennifer Jarvis.
Hello, I'm Cheryl Brubaker, Horning Road in Denver, which technically it's still Elanco School District. My kids attend here or have attended here. I am one of the parents in the classroom. When Amber and I got the phone call, I believe Amber got hers first. Let me back up. As a parent, I responded to an email that was desperately seeking clarity, understanding. There was no finger pointing. There was no aggression. It was more of, can someone explain this? Maybe there's a valid reason why my son came home the way he did. I don't want to jump to conclusions. I want to get all my information. That email was also sent to the teacher as well. The teacher's reply was not nearly the detail that my own reply was, and as I was told, Amber's was. That being said, we gave the truth. We gave our account of that day. We keep a toilet log in the bathroom with initials and what the child was at the time of the checking, and Amber's initials and my initials were not on his caseload that day. That being said, fast forward, communicating with the parent, asking, you know, him asking more questions and validating or clearing up any concerns or questions that I had given him back. We got to the point where he's like, "All right, I feel confident with the information. You and Amber's information is very similar." And mind you, this is Friday afternoon. We're not at school anymore. We're at home, so it's not like we're with each other. I guess the teacher's response was pretty vague. "Oh, we'll check into it. We'll take more care for the next time." I don't know what exactly her response was, but very vague. So we go to school the next week. It's an investigation going on. No problems. The teacher's there all week, teaching in the class like normal. No supervision extra in the classroom or anything like that. Normal week, you know, take care of the kids and play with them and feed them and teach them and, you know, just a normal week. Sunday evening, the 20th of February, we both get a phone call saying, "You're not to come in to report to work tomorrow. District's doing an investigation." Okay, well, I thought they were doing an investigation last week and we were there and okay, whatever. So then we get a phone call at the end of the day, Monday, saying, we were both told the call was recorded and we were on speakerphone with a witness that now I'm requesting a copy of that recording or anything in writing, and I am hitting Stonewall after Stonewall. Dawn Hare and Adina Deal have disappeared. I'm having no response with them since last week. We were told we're fired, terminated, effective immediately. for communicating with parents. Asked for something in writing, exactly the reason why we were being terminated. Have not gotten anything from anyone about that yet. I just think it's, at the end of the day, we're here for the kids. We were told in multiple few, we've had three before school meetings with our boss about cohesiveness in the classroom, and we were told to remember you're here for the kids, put a smile on your face, stay in your lane. Okay, I am here for the kids. And when I think something shady is going on, I am going to report it. We reported things to our higher-ups at the principal, and even higher than that, Diane D'Souza was involved. Give it time. Give it time. She's still, the dust is still settling. Kind of just pushed off. So here we are. Do the right thing. Think of your own child. I mean, I would assume all of you have kids at some point or know of a niece or nephew, whatever. That's what we're here for. We're here for the kids. It's the right thing to stand up for them because their innocent voices need to be heard. Thank you.
Thank you. Jennifer Jarvis, followed by Audrey Perez.
My name is Jennifer Jarvis. I live at 335 Broad Street, East Earl, PA. Out of respect for the children, the parents, and the three para-eds, I'm not going to read the speech that I intended to because it's a little on the abrasive side, considering the gravity of this situation. I think that this solidifies our request for cameras being installed in the buildings, unless the administration in this district wants to retain plausible deniability in situations like this. This is unacceptable and incomprehensible that this is going on in the walls of our schools. Thank you.
Audrey? Okay. Then we're going to skip ahead to CJ Boone. Maybe. You got it, buddy.
I'll have it. You can do it, buddy.
You got it, buddy.
Got it.
Just talking to me. Just talk to me. You got it. Right here.
Is there anybody else after me?
Your dad. I'm sorry, your mom. I read the card wrong. Tom, you're good.
Hi, I'm CJ Boone.
You got it. Do you want to give me what you were going to read? And I'll just read it privately. Is that okay? And I'll pass it to the board.
Okay.
Okay.
One of us can read it for
you. Do you want to pass? You did good, buddy. I know.
All right.
Mr. Conroy's a little scary, but it's fine.
It's okay. My name's Diane Boone, and I live in East Earl Township. Basically, I'm just going to kind of go over what my son was attempting to talk about. And it's regarding his experiences at New Holland Elementary School. Granted, there's only 3 more months left in the school year, but he's not having a fun time right now. We've talked to he's got a new teacher, so we've worked with that transition, but we've also talked to the principal. Basically, bottom line is it's the contact tracing is having an effect on these kids. They're still not allowed to eat in the cafeteria like they do. They have to have assigned seats. We had come to find out that he was assigned a seat and he was sitting at a table of all girls. And I don't know, when you're an 11-year-old boy, you don't want to be sitting at a table with all girls. Okay, not yet, okay? He wants to sit with his buddies. He wants to have fun. He wants to talk. The other issue is they got reprimanded for talking too loudly, okay? This is their free time, okay? They have to be quiet and focused in the classroom. When they're at lunch, this should be their time to hang out, have fun, talk, and eat their lunch. Not be told that they have to be quiet and they have to sit in a certain spot. We also found out that just recently they're back in pods again at recess. So my concern is, as a parent, is the contact tracing needs to stop. Now, I know we're at the end of getting to the end of the school year, but for 3 months left, it's a long time for these little guys, okay? My question is, can we reevaluate and relook at the contact tracing rules? These kids can play outside with their buddies and friends and interact, but yet they got to go into the classroom. They're sitting in the classroom with their friends, but then they go into lunch. They're allowed to sit with other classes, but they have to have assigned seats for contact tracing. They have assigned seats on the school bus, but yet then they're allowed to intermingle. They play sports outside of the home. They're intermingling with other kids in the district. So my question is, why are we still doing contact tracing? It doesn't work. It takes up too much time. COVID is over, people, okay? The mask mandates are gone. The state of Pennsylvania has already said there is no COVID. That rule and House bill passed and was signed. So if that's all there is, then why are these kids still being forced to have assigned seats and have contact tracing? I think that it needs to be reevaluated, mostly for the rest of this year, and we need to look at it for your health and safety plan for next year, because it's too much for these kids to handle. These kids want a normal school year. This is one of the reasons why my son is so upset. He wants to be with his friends. He wants to have things back the way they were, and it's taken the toll on these kids. Thank God we guys were able to remove the mask mandates, but the contact tracing and the assigned seating needs to stop. Thank you.
Thank you. That is all the comments I have for tonight. I know we don't typically do conversation, but I have a question for Dr. Larkin. When I had asked last month about restrictions and COVID stuff, you had said, I was under the impression we weren't doing that type of stuff. Did I not hear correctly? Like the eating pods. I thought I had heard you say that all restrictions were lifted minus the contact tracing. So it might not be directly tied to COVID. It might be as a result. Okay. Thank you for that. Sorry it was unscripted. I just needed clarity. And I do want to just make a quick comment. Obviously, we heard a lot tonight, comments about a specific situation, which being a personnel issue, we cannot comment on in public settings. But I want you guys all to know you are heard. As a parent of a student who also does not speak, who is in autistic support. I hear you, the board hears you, but we are in this role, in this public setting, we are not a jury in this role. We encourage you, if you do have specific scenarios, to reach out to the board, as many of you have done, and I would encourage you to do that. I also just wanna thank many of you for just being respectful, and not necessarily naming a particular teacher. That shows a lot to me personally, so thank you. That being said, any other comments from the board?
I'm just going to mention and say, just for the record, even though you didn't speak, CJ, you're a fantastic basketball player, and it was great to see you on the court, and I'd still say you should have an opportunity to go ahead and speak if you want to. I'd love to hear what you say. That's okay. Good.
Next meeting.
Thanks.
Moving ahead along in the agenda, we have the consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion on the agenda? Is there anyone on personnel?
I'll need to abstain.
No. So Brian has to abstain because his name is on it as a volunteer. I will just make a note, being that the personnel report was on it, that this would be Justin's last meeting officially as our secretary while it's going in good hands. I just want to make a public comment that you have been valued here, not just as the board secretary, but someone that the community looks up to. And the community will never know what you do did behind the scenes at all. But I see it, and it's valued. And you going on to the chamber means you're going to have more influence in the community to do all the good you've already done here in Elanco. So thank you.
I'd just like to add, I know, President Dahl, you've only been in that
seat a limited time, but he was actually the power behind the throne there. He was the one that kept us in the straight and narrow when it came to the meetings.
In my short time, he's hit me a couple times next to me, so I can totally, totally second that. All in favor of approving the consent agenda, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The agenda is approved. Moving along to the action items, Dr. Larkin.
Yes, I just wanted to let you know that we did pull the approval of agreement to waive expulsion hearing that we had, that could have been in the consent agenda, but it's been a longer week and we have an additional one there. So you need to approve two. So I wanted to make sure you knew that.
And you're looking for that approval tonight. Copy. Sorry, I got logged out of my thing real quick. Do I have a motion to approve the expulsion waiver?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Did you get that for the minutes? All in favor of approving the expulsion waiver, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The approval expulsion waiver is approved. Do you have to explain anything with the appointment of... No, we did last time. Correct. So moving along to the appointment of Keith Ramsey as board secretary and Rebecca Ray as recording secretary. Do I have a motion to approve that?
So moved.
Second.
And any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That is approved as well. Continuing down the trend, appointing Donna Prokay as board treasurer for the remainder of this calendar year, school year. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Welcome, Donna. Motion carries. Moving on to reports, the Lancaster County Tax Collection Bureau.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We did not have a meeting this month. Our next meeting is March 9th.
Awesome. Thank you. Lancaster, Levin, and IU, Mr. Conroy. I lied. You're CTC. Mr. Irvin.
It's all right. It's quite all right. That's something. The IU 13 board met on February 9th. We approved payment of invoices in the amount of $15,539,761.46. We approved three new or additions to existing contracts under business services, 18 extensions of existing contracts under early childhood and special education services, 11 new or extensions to existing contracts under instructional services, technology services. We had personnel actions of 13 resignations, 54 terminations, 9 retirements, 11 new hires of employees, 14 change of positions and salaries, and approved 9 leave of absences. I gave each of the board members and administrators a copy of the board report and the helping districts help students. If anyone has any questions, I will answer that now or get back to you with an answer.
Thank you. Any questions? Now moving to Mr. Conroy for the IU report.
CTC, if that's okay.
Oh my gosh, I had the wrong thing.
We're having fun. You got one thing. I was not able to make this month's meeting, but I was able to zoom in and I'm sitting on the policy committee review team, so we're going through all the policies. That was very educational, and it would be something that I would recommend, and we'll talk to President Dahl and Dr. Stempkowski about maybe having a policy committee review team here. It was really well thought through as far as the process of going through what they're going through to have a few of us then be able to really dig into it. So we did do that. And then I have a new membership orientation on March 15th, so I'm sure I'll learn more of what CTC does. And the other one I wanted to mention, which I thought was really great, was, and I hope I'm getting her name right, Julianne Nathan with Website Design was the Elanco winner of first place winner of skills and the Skills USA district winners. So I know she's not here, but she is congratulated by me and all the CTC board members there. So there you go.
Thank you. Any questions about the CTC? Moving on to legislative.
I got nothing, so I'm good to go.
Just checking to see if Tom had something.
Yeah, he might.
I think they've settled on the lines for all the voting district, for all the legislative and things like that, and we're out getting closer to the primary, so we'll see what shakes out.
Thank you. Moving on to the superintendent's report.
Good evening, and best of luck to you, Justin, as you move on to ever greater things. But I'd also like to welcome Justin's replacement, Miranda Borman, who is here this evening and was earlier approved during the personnel report. So welcome to the district. So as part of my first report to you and the Elanco community, I'm very excited to share multiple positive events from across the district, as well as several items that are going to be occurring in the weeks to come. So at Blue Ball Elementary, Blue Ball is implementing a PBIS this year, and they've brought the Golden High Five Challenge to Blue Ball. Learners who exemplify being safe, respectful, and kind are recognized, and that can happen from any adult in the building. Then these students have their parents notified, their names are recorded in the High Five book, and then they are randomly entered into a drawing for a future reward. Earlier this week, we had our 600th contact home from the Blue Ball staff, and it's very exciting to be recognizing that level of commitment from our students. Also at Blue Ball, Ms. Dickinson, sixth grade learners, worked with our kindergarten students to prepare upcoming activities for this week's Read Across America celebration. And partnering our youngest and our oldest learners in each building, or in this building, created wonderful interactions. And all the students were typically very pleased with what happened, and it's a great sense of community being demonstrated. At Brecknock, on Friday the 25th, we held our 13th annual Day of Service. For those of you who may not be aware, this is to commemorate the memory of Mrs. Lisa Horning, a former Brecknock teacher. And every year, the students and staff unite to support a charity for the day. This year's charity was Caitlin Smiles. It's a local organization that delivers care bags filled with fun activities and crafts to children who are in the hospital. Also, students engaged in their own version of the Winter Olympics, mimicking a variety of the events from the Winter Olympics in their own way, as well as learning about the history of the Olympics and earning medals for their teams. At New Holland, Elanco Night was celebrated with the Reading Royals on February 19th. Our principal, Mr. Eric, was involved, as were the mascots for the Royals and Iron Man. There's no one has really shared who was the most popular of those three at the event, but I have my ideas. We had about 30 of our families who were in attendance as well to enjoy the event. And this is really just an opportunity to get our community back together in a way as we're continuing to move forward. There have been a number of assemblies celebrating students in the three R's, meaning being responsible, respectful, and ready to learn. Students have been recognized monthly, and the building is now gearing up for STEM Night on March 25th. The students will be showcasing work that demonstrates problem-solving, collaboration, and creativity on that evening. From a district-wide perspective, across all of our elementary schools, our Sherry Lenahan, our elementary gifted support specialist, took multiple students from Elanco to the IU-13 Mini STEM Bowl on the 24th, and will be returning to the STEM Bowl on Friday, March 4th, with an additional group of students. As this is Read Across America Week, our elementary buildings are filled with a variety of activities, including dress-up or dress-down days, specialized schedules, and really a celebration of the value of reading for all of our students. At Garden Spot Middle School, as a PBIS reward, the learners chose a faculty versus learner basketball game. I had the opportunity and the enjoyment to watch many of our staff participate last week, and it was really enjoyed by all of the students and I think all of the faculty as well. There were multiple gift cards donated by local businesses that were then raffled off to the students. There was a shoe cleaning kit, and there was also two bicycles that were raffled off to students over the course of the afternoon. Finally, at Garden Spot High School, in addition to what was already mentioned by Mr. Conroy, there are a variety of athletic accomplishments since the last time the board came together. Garrett Gear took third place in the 132-pound weight class at this weekend's District 3 Wrestling Championships and is now a state qualifier for the upcoming PIAA Championships. Brenna Kelly was a 600-meter finalist, finished eighth place overall at this weekend's Pennsylvania Track and Field Coaches Association indoor meet. And Kayla Perry, Peter Haas, and Zach Delgado, who you saw earlier this evening, each qualified in multiple events for next weekend's District 3 Championship meet. Additionally, finishing up with that, I would really like to thank the school board and the administrative team for their patience, as I have finally been able to begin working here in the Elanco School District as of February 23rd of last week. I very much appreciate the welcome that I have received, and I really look forward to continuing to get to know everyone in the buildings and the community over the next several months. I'd really like to extend a special thank you to Dr. Larkin for her leadership during the transition and her efforts to help me hit the ground running. I can already see in the little time that I've been in the buildings that this is a wonderful, wonderful school district. Things are great. Things are happening really well for our learners across multiple buildings, and I can't tell you how excited I am to be a part of all things Elanco. That concludes my first report. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate hearing a lot of different things going on, and well, some your fourth day here. Moving on, I do have one announcement that I need to make. We did have a brief executive session prior to this regarding a personnel issue, and I would like to have an exec session post this to discuss a personnel issue and a student issue. So two different things. But beyond that, any other announcements for the board or from the board? Hearing none, do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor of adjournment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.